The remains of Foley and McCall. With Sean Foley and Hamish McCall. This week's episode, Snuff Radio. Hold the lift, Hamish.
Morning, Sean.
Morning, Hamish. That's a lovely dress you're wearing.
Thank you. I'm wearing it as a protest against the utter predictability of life and this programme in particular.
And the wig, too?
No, the wig's a personal thing.
No, you look good. By which I mean deranged.
I should never agree to do this series, Sean. It's become so predictable. Joke here, joke there, into the bar, 17 vodka tonics, wake up in Hartlepool next to a pig.
Good weekend then, was it?
No, I stayed in and tattooed My Life Is So Bloody Predictable on my chest. Again.
I lived with a tattooist once. He used me as a human notepad. Look at that. Ian, your mum called about the cardigan, all down my left leg.
I thought it was your right leg.
No, that's Sean. If mum calls about the cardigan again, tell her I'm out. And I've got P.S. I'm down the pub on my left buttock.
I'm serious, Sean. I need more stimulation. It's not easy being the only intellectual in this double act.
You think I'm stupid, don't you?
Before I answer that, are you carrying a weapon?
10th floor, production offices of the remains of Foley and McCall. As a lift, I don't normally speak, but I thought I'd just help establish location.
Hello, boys. Am I in this scene?
All right, Dickie, but just one line.
Oh, brilliant! Brilliant idea! A brief but telling encounter to establish that I am the entire acting pool for this programme.
I'm sorry we didn't turn up for last week's programme, Dickie, but we had a good reason.
Yes, we couldn't be bothered.
Is our dear producer on the warpath?
Well, who knows with Yvette? Although the large delivery of gunpowder to her office this morning does not bode well. This week, boys, I am going to perform all my scenes as Puck, the mischievous sprite from A Midsummer's Night's Dreams. I am the elfin Puck. I prance, I spin, a naughty boy.
Come down off the cover, Dickie.
I twist, I leap. Ah! Puck has internal injuries and seeks a medical examination in the green room.
We'd better go and talk to Yvette. Yvette?
Brace yourself, Sean. She's going to be absolutely livid.
Hey, Hamish, Sean, I'm celebrating the massive success of last week's show. Marvellous decision of yours not to turn up. It really made the programme. Have a mint julep and listen to the calls we've had.
Master stroke to get rid of Hamish from last week's program. A lot of other things could be improved by his absence. Our marriage, for instance.
As an understudy for both Hamish and Sean last week, Dickie Boo excelled himself yet again. Give him his own series. The public demand it. I am an... He is an actor, a true genius. Damn!
I am not Dickie. I am his twin sister.
Brother! Oh, sod it!
You see, Yvette, our absence has proved once again that we are indispensable to this programme.
I have good news. Because of the success of last week's episode, the remains of Foley and McCall has been chosen as Britain's entry for the European Radio Drama Competition.
Sean's fainted. Any smelling salts, Yvette?
Use the cattle prod.
Serious drama, Yvette? At last, a chance to be pretentious.
This is a real coup for the BBC. We're ditching the show we had planned for tonight, and instead you're going to Luxembourg to perform a short piece for the competition. Greg Dyke himself has given me carte blanche to choose the writer of your piece, and Pinter and Stoppard were both interested. Unfortunately, it was Bill Pinter and Roger Stoppard, two dustmen from Peckham. So I've chosen the unknown Swiss writer, Clopier Loss.
What do you mean, the unknown Swiss writer? Yvette, it's like Orson Welles said in that film, you know. Sean, what did he say?
Hello, I'm Orson Welles.
No, a Swiss writer is a contradiction in terms, Yvette. Have you lost your mind?
No, but I have succumbed to bribery. The writer's father is Herr Loss, the bald industrialist. And he's given me a solid gold brooch of the Matterhorn.
Total moral meltdown for a brooch? You come cheap, Yvette.
Not really. It was actual size. You better get going. Here are two tickets to the Elephant and Castle.
I thought we were going to Luxembourg.
You are, but you can walk from there.
Hold on to your hats. We're going to a place. It's a spiritual home of the human race. It's a happy and mysterious land. They say that it's a duchy and they say it's grand. It's got a street lamp, it's got a station, it's got the cheek to call itself a nation. Luxembourg, Luxembourg, the most happening burg in the whole of Europe. Luxembourg, Luxembourg, it's got a house and they're planning to put more up.
Well, willkommen and bienvenue to Luxembourg. This is Mick the Mike saying welcome to the European Radio Drama Competition, which this year will be held in an exciting new race format after the tragedy of last year's traditional ceremony when 45 listeners died of boredom.
Hamish, where's this clop you lost then?
Am I in this scene, boys?
Oh, not really, Dickie.
I've been rehearsing my part for the competition piece. I play Sean's dog, the faithful Slobberchops. A part I shall instill with all the essence of the elfin pug. Look, I dance, I leap, a naughty dog.
Come down off there, Dickie.
Such canine fun. Slobberchop has hurt his paws and crawls off to the hospitality tent for some, in inverted commas, apple juice.
Excuse me, I am Clopier Loss.
Oh, hello, Clopier.
Here are your scripts for the competition. It's called Clopier, Why So Sad? And Hamish, you play Pepe.
Give it here, Clopier. What's my first line? I am Pepe, the whiskery old clockmaker of this village. For sure I am Pepe, the whiskery old clockmaker of this village. Do you think you've made that clear enough?
Maybe not. Say it twice. Sean, you are Pepe's lovesick son. Clopier, please, page 17. It's my favourite line. Please, Sean, read in a stupid voice.
Righto. I am so, so, so sad. Mm. Heidi has left me to work for her father in the female order business.
Good, good, good. Now I say, what is female order? And you say?
Male order with bosoms.
Ha! It's brilliant, really?
You certainly have an ear for dialogue, Clopier.
Well, it's a tragic story, but as humans, we must all to laugh, no?
Clopier, Clopier, come here. Now go away.
Tension is mounting at the European Radio Drama Competition, the Blue Ribbon event of the radio year. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, the broadcasting companies will literally kill to win this award.
Positions, please.
And as they line up for the race, it's France in lane one with their dramatisation of Molière's Dental Records. Spain in lane two with their pun-filled jazz cookery drama, Paella Fitzgerald. Alice Reedham, ladies and gentlemen. And Britain is in lane three with Clopier, Why So Sad?
It's a relay race, Hamish. You go first. I'll pick it up off the first bend.
On your mark, get set.
I am Pepe.
Yeah, it's a false start there. Yeah, that's Hamish. In lane four. Now one more of those and he'll be out of the competition.
On your mark, get set.
I am Pepe.
I'm no way, and the British team offer a flying start.
Where is Clopier, my lovesick son?
Baton, pass me the baton. I am Clopier, your lovesick son.
Pass it back. Clopier, Clopier, are you sad?
Pass it back.
Yes, I am sad.
Pass it back.
Why are you sad?
Give me it here.
I'll tell you why I'm sad.
Give it back.
Go on, for heaven's sake, tell me why you're sad.
Got it. I'm sad because I miss Heidi.
At last, a fact.
Woof, woof.
Dickie, what are you doing here on all fours?
Woof. I am Slobberchops, Clopchit's faithful Saint Bernard. Woof! Woof! I'm not really a dog, you know. I'm an actor on his knees. Story of my sodding career. I want my own series.
Have you been drinking, Dickie?
I should, Coco. I haven't been this messed since I stood in for Reggie Bovenkay on Music 10.
And the British team is being badly held up by a man with a keg of brandy round his neck.
He was quick, it's your line.
Sorry. Who is it, Clopier, who through the door is coming?
I am Heidi. I love you, Clopier. I am Heidi. I love you, Clopier.
Stop! Clopier, why does Heidi sound like a Dalek?
I didn't do it on purpose. I just can't write women.
Telegram!
telegram for Hamish and Sean from Yvette.
Open it up. What does it say?
Stop this immediately.
Blimey, Yvette's inside it.
Hamish and Sean, you're an absolute disgrace. You were given a quality script by Clopier Loss and you've murdered it. All our hopes at the BBC were riding on you and you failed. It's had a serious knock-on effect and the BBC has been forced to shut down.
What? Hey?
That's not all. The ex-BBC employees want you dead and they pool their redundancy money to put a price on your heads. I've got them! I've got Hamish and Sean! I'm sorry, boys, but I need the money. They're over here! Quick, quick, bring guns!
Quick, Sean, piggyback! Ah, Italy.
Yes, it looks like our career in radio is over.
Yes, at last we can return to our first love, unemployment.
Let's go home.
Home? Are you crazy? That's the first place they'll look for us.
Oh, Sean, don't be paranoid.
Don't call me Sean. Call me Betty. Somebody may be listening.
Betty, you're right. After all, we are talking into an enormous microphone.
And so it was that Sean and Hamish went underground and disappeared into the shadows. They moved by night, bumping into things. They took casual work and bought a small torch. They took more casual work and bought the batteries. Half mad with fear, they lived on berries and milk sucked directly from surprised cows.
Yeah, thanks, Brad. We've done the costume change.
Okay, just winding up. Until they came to Cleethorpes and rented a small room below a chip shop.
2 Savaloyan chips, please, love.
Hamish, do you think they're still after us?
Yes, we are.
Oh, I keep hearing Yvette's voice in my mind. I think we should pool our resources and get some plastic surgery done.
Yes. What can we get done for 3 bags of berries and a small torch?
I've already checked out the local guy. If we give him the berries, he says he'll staple our ears to our noses. And if we give him the torch as well, he'll pull our hair out.
Maybe you just go.
Where have you been, Sean?
I went to the doctor's. I told him everyone was trying to kill me. The idiot said I was paranoid. He gave me these pills. Here, 50 each will do it. Now make it 100.
Do you think they'll work?
Why shouldn't they work?
I wonder how fast they'll work.
How should I know how fast they work?
Have you noticed something?
What?
We're asking a lot of inane questions, aren't we?
Yes, we are, aren't we? I just asked you another inane question, didn't I?
Why are we asking inane questions? Do you think it might be the pills? Have you checked the label for side effects?
Can you believe this? It says side effects can include a brief spell of asking inane questions, doesn't it? It's unbelievable, isn't it?
Yes, we've got this inane questions thing badly now, haven't we?
Have we? What time is it? Where are my glasses? Have you done the shopping? Bloody hell, we're inanely questioning everything now, aren't we?
This is totally exhausting, isn't it? Tonally, I mean, having to go up at the end of every sentence. Like this. I mean, even when I try to go down like I am now, I still end up going up at the end. Like this. Don't you?
What was that?
I don't know. Can we hear it again? Was it a little mouse?
Let's hear it again. Still no idea. But there are 3 bricks on the floor with messages attached to them.
What does the 3rd brick say?
In reference to my 2 previous bricks, there is nothing to fear. It's from Yvette. She says the price on our heads was just a rumour. She says we should stop being paranoid and get back to the office. P.S.
What does it say?
Can I have my bricks back?
2nd floor. Being a lift, I normally help establish location, but after what you 2 did in Luxembourg, I'm not going to.
Hello, Yvette. We've got your bricks.
There's no one about. I don't like the look of this. Yvette? There's no one here.
Perhaps she's left a message. Look on our desk.
Yes. Look, she's been writing a novel. Page after page of the same thing. All work and no play makes Yvette a dull psychopath.
Something's not right. And that music confirms it.
Am I in the scene, boys?
Dickie, you made me jump. Not unless you've sobered up.
Am I in the scene, boys?
Did you hear what I just said, Dickie?
Am I in the scene, boys?
Throw a jug of water in his face, Sean. Just the water, Sean.
Sorry, Dickie. my God! His head's fallen off! I've killed Dickie!
I am kill you to program... I mean, I... You to program me kill... Oh, sod it!
But this isn't Dickie. It's a carefully constructed robot designed as a killing machine. Look, he's got a bread knife in his pocket.
So Yvette was telling the truth.
We weren't being paranoid, Sean. Everyone is out to get us.
Come on, Hamish. Let's get sex changes and go and live in Brazil.
Don't be stupid. Brazil's not far enough. Antarctica.
Right, listen to this. Do you think I can pass for a penguin?
Wait a minute. Did you hear that?
What?
There was a clicking noise in what you just said. Say pass for a penguin again, but say it slowly.
Pass for a penguin.
There, did you hear it? There was a click.
There was a click.
Say it again, but really slowly.
Pass for a penguin.
It's a human voice. Say it again, but as slowly as you can.
Pass for a...
Kill Sean and Hamish and win the respect of the BBC.
Bing. Subliminal advertising.
Oh, no. Now the whole of the British public is going to want to kill us without quite knowing why.
We're going to be killed live on air, Hamish.
Yes, we've inadvertently invented a whole new genre.
Snuff radio. Shoppers.
Hamish and Sean, we know you're in there.
Hamish is, but I'm not.
Judas. Yvette, what is going on?
You have absolutely nothing to fear. Step out where the conceal.
If you're going to kill us live on air, we demand a pay rise.
Stella, we're coming in.
Well, this is it, Hamish. The end of the road.
Oh, if only we had a getaway car.
Hey, what about using this getaway song?
Start a rap, it's a novel idea.
We'll use a song to get out of here.
Turn the key, I think it's in C. It's our only chance.
I'm in the back, we'll be gone real soon. In my souped-up supercharged getaway too. The lyrics are leather and the chords chrome plate. Fuel injection in the middle eight.
We got a getaway song, and by the second verse we'll be long, long gone. The scenes flash past as we do a ton in a getaway, getaway, getaway song.
Yeah, that's it. Oh, no. What's happened? It's stalled. The lyrics are flooded.
Oh, put the choke in. There, by the drums.
The choke is in and we're moving along in a getaway, getaway, getaway song. The rockers are rolling and the cabaret is strong.
But wait a minute, what's that in the mirror?
A bossa nova rhythm getting nearer and nearer.
Step on it, cause it's gaining ground.
I've gotcha. Oh, no, it's a vet in the bossa nova sound.
Hamish, she's gaining fast.
Yes, and in such a smooth vehicle.
I'm in pursuit in a cool bossa nova.
Step on it, we've got to get away.
Cruising with style, so you'd better pull over.
No way, you'll have to do more.
No way, we've got a foot on the floor.
You're just a dreamer driving in a Beamer
with a pitchfork of the other government banana.
We got a getaway song. We'll leave the bossa nova standing back along. In 4 bars time we'll be doing okay. We're gonna get away, get away.
They got away.
Let me get this straight, Sean. You want us to write our names on these luggage labels, tie them round our big toes, strip off, knock on the door of the morgue, lie down, and wait for them to take us in so we can fake our own deaths to fall the attempt of the entire nation to kill us.
So I thought of that?
no idea, but it won't work, so I'm giving it to you.
Am I in this scene, boys?
Dickie, is that you or a robot?
A phrase I've heard from every director I've worked with. I came to warn you, boys, that I am a turncoat. Yvette, they're over here, says the quizzling Dickie, smiling his evil smile and puffing evil smoke from his evil ears.
Hello, gentlemen.
Yvette, come on, back into the getaway song, Hamish.
We got a getaway song.
Damn, they bricked up the second line.
Dickie, how could you?
Oh, it wasn't me who betrayed you. It was my twin brother. No, it was too obvious. It was my mother, Agent Dog. Well, there's no difference, really. Wait, this is a good one. It was me! Damn! I've come full circle. I just want my own cereal.
You're going to have us killed, aren't you, Yvette? I know you are, because you nodded when I said that.
Did I? Just making a note. Body language, not my thing. I'd like you to meet someone. Over there, in the dimly lit leather chair. The man stroking the white cat and wearing the monocle.
The evil Cockney one.
Greg Dyke, the BBC Director General himself.
We wanted that drama award, boys. We wanted it bad. Clopia Weiss a Sab was just a cover. The real drama is much bigger than that. It is called Hamish and Sean Remain Oblivious to the Skullduggery of the BBC and are persecuted in the name of Radio Light Entertainment.
It's certainly got a nice ring to it.
I'm afraid I'm really not following this, Mr. Dyke.
The drama competition is still going on, boys. Yvette, where's the lever to drop him into the shark pool?
Oh, no! What was that?
And they've done it! It's Mick the Mike here, and at the European Radio Drama Competition, it is the British team that have crossed the line in first place with their massively confusing drama. Hamish and Sean Remain Oblivious to etc, etc. And what a wonderful surprise cameo performance by the DG himself, Mr. Greg Dyke.
What is going on?
That's lovely jubbly. Right, back to the paperwork.
No, stop. Stop, I am totally, totally lost.
Yes, I want to give voice to the question that is on the minds of our entire audience. What the hell's going on?
Dickie, do you understand what's going on?
Oh, I never understand what's going on. That's why I became an actor.
Yvette, do you?
First rule of producing, never admit that you don't know what's going on.
What is it, a piece behind the piece that we were doing at the competition? Is that it, Sean?
Well, search me. I'll ask the audience. Have you understood any of this?
No!
Are you willing to say you do understand it?
Yes!
How much were you paid to say that?
No! You join us at the Dorchester Hotel in London's glittering West End, the European Radio Drama Awards ceremony, where Mr. Dickie Bow is 3 hours into his acceptance speech for Best Supporting Dog for his portrayal of the faithful Slopper Chops.
This is so unjust, Sean. Everyone is winning awards except us.
Dressed in a little pink negligee, which was nice for my milkman. Laugh, you buggers! To continue, I would like to thank, in alphabetical order, all the actors I have ever known. Firstly, Alan Arkwright, a fine actor who I met over a bottle of sherry on the Waterloo Bridge. What? Get your hands off me. You know who
extraordinary
I
scenes, Mr. Dickie Bow is being dragged from the stage to huge applause.
I'm not finished. I have an anecdote. I must finish on an anecdote.
And now the award for the most hypocritical producer, which this year goes to
Yvette
from the BBC.
Tell you what this award means to me and all the people at Capital Radio, where I now work with real talent and twice the salary.
I can't believe this. We're going to get nothing.
And finally, the award for best joke in a drama.
Oh, no, this should be us. This should be us.
It's going to be us. It'll be us.
Which this year goes to Klop Gilos for Mail Order with Bosoms. And now for tonight's special award. And here to introduce it is Hollywood's latest screenwriting sensation, Mr. Klop Gilos.
ladies and gentlemen, tonight we celebrate two men who inadvertently invented a whole new genre for radio. Snuff radio has become the household favorite, and to date over 300 actors have been killed for the amusement of the listening public. Hamish McCall and Sean Foley, will you please come to the stage, please?
At last.
Stand here on this target. It has always seemed somehow ironic that Hamish and Sean invented the genre of snuff radio, but escaped its ultimate conclusion. Death. Tonight we remedy that. To present your award for best actors in a snuff drama, Hamish and Sean, please, look directly above you.
High in the chandeliers swings the mischievous puck. Every spray has his day. With his elfin penknife, he cuts loose the chandelier and plummets towards his target.
Congratulations, Hamish and Sean. Would you like to say a few words?
Oh, yes. Before I die, I'd like to say...
Nicely put. And you, Sean?
I would like to elaborate on what Hamish just said and say...
Marvellous moment of radio as Sean and Hamish snuff it live on air and bring tonight's proceedings to a close.
No! No! There must be time for my anecdote. Picture the scene. There I was, standing outside the Savoy with David Burglass, the celebrity hypnotist.
In the remains of Foley and McCall, Sean was Foley and Hamish McCall. It was written in a cave on the Costa del Sol by Sean Foley and Hamish McCall. Rose English played Yvette, and Count Arthur Strong was Dickie Bow. Chris Lana wielded the querulous hand that wrote the songs for the radio. Members of the cast played the other parts, and Mark Stevens caressed our hearts with a synthesizer and helped to sing. Lisa Evans produced the thing.
And the funniest thing of all was, I don't even like marmalade. Come on, laugh, you buggers! I'm a big